And the story's not finished. They are yet in the process of building a new complex. He was talking about it last night. And it's going to be a monument to, and I don't mean a tomb, it's going to be a monument to apostolic revival in that city. And but I don't see it as something that's grown and now mature and the growth is over. But I'm, from what I'm seeing and feeling in this family, I'm just seeing them getting themselves set and ready to take over a city. I believe he was preaching his heart to us last night. I believe he has a message for the city of Tampa that there's a new sheriff in town and that there's going to be a showdown. My God, there's no telling what you guys can do. Where you're sitting now, you remember what it was like to have 10 in the house. My God, there's going to be trouble in Tampa. We love them tonight. I want you to extend your hand toward him as he comes and pray God's blessing and strength upon him. God, empower them in all that they lay their hands to. Brother, Sister David, we appreciate you and love you tonight.
Thank you, Brother. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. It's an honor to be here again tonight, and good to see you here. And I know it's Thursday night. Memorial Day is on just a few days away, graduation. And so I know how it is. And so I thank God for your faithfulness and your desire to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we are very, very excited about the spirit that is in this church, and your excitement and your exuberance and your love for God. And I watch you running the aisles and doing some flips and all of that. And all of that's all right. Nothing wrong with that. Praise God. And you may not be a huge number tonight, but God is always adding to the church. And we look back in retrospect as to where we are now. And everything starts small. And so we're never to be unmindful of our formidable days, our early days, small things. Because small things always turn into large things if you would feed it and water it and bathe it in much prayer. And God is able to multiply you exceedingly. I was saying to our church just recently relative to the blessings that Isaac had received and how God blessed him very profoundly in just a short time. And the fact of the matter is, we as he was are sons of the Most High God and daughters of the Most High God. And so we should always put ourselves in the same place that the great God of glory will bless us in the same measure. Jesus is always the same. He hasn't changed. And so the Bible said of Isaac that he sowed in the land and God blessed him 100-fold. And I suppose that if anybody wants to lay hold on that important principle, then God will also bless us 100-fold. And I'm not one that is going to just sit back and say, Lord, just give me a little bit. I'm never satisfied with just a little bit. And a matter of fact, I've suggested that even the 100-fold is not enough for us. We're at the ending of this age, and so we need to be praying for 1,000-fold. That 100-fold right there was sufficient for some time back, but now we are praying for 1,000-fold. 1,000-fold. Amen. And God is able. The Bible said he's able to bless us more abundantly than we are able to ask or to think. And so we are challenged by the word of God to think big. And God is big. He's not a small God. People put him in a matchbox, but God is big. He's huge. He's gigantic. He fills where you are. He fills the heavens. He's in the depths of outer space. He's everywhere. And so when we get ready to ask of God, don't ever think small. Because God will give you what you want, what you ask for. So ask for something big. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you ask for something small, God will oblige. He'll just give you something small. But I remember at one stage in our church, we had come to a place where our pews were pretty much filled. And I said, well, now what we need to be doing, we need to be putting out some chairs down that aisle, down this aisle, down this aisle, down there and across the back. And some of our good saints, they came to me and said, now, Pastor, why are we putting out those chairs? We still got room. I said, now, we want God just to fill it. I said, we want God to fill him. He hasn't filled all the pews, but when he gets finished with the pews, we want him to go down that side, down that road, down there, down there, down there, and across the back. There's a lot of people in Tampa that needs God. And if we put out chairs to me, God is able to fill them. Praise God. So don't you ever feel that you're imposing on God if you're asking for something big. Hallelujah. Amen. I just go maybe crazy sometime, but I'm serving God. I'm getting older now, and so if I ask him for something, amen, big and something gigantic and something great, maybe he will just give it to me. Jesus said, everyone that asks, receive. And James says, we have not because we ask not. So if we begin to ask, who can tell? Maybe God will give it to us. But if we don't ask, we sure enough won't get it. My Lord, my Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost. Brother Sutton, I thank you so very much for your kind invitation. And I'm really thrilled to be here and to feel what is happening in this city here. And I am just excited with you here, and I know that God will give you what you ask of him. If you ask for great revival, he will give that because God is in the revival building. We're not in a dead church. The apostle says this is the church of the living God. He said it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is the church of the firstborn that is written in heaven. So we're not in a dead, anemic, going down church. We're in a vibrant, a revival, a church that is living, a church that is powerful, a church that is going up. Praise God. And that's why when we come in, we don't come in as like a dead pew. We don't act like we're part of the furniture. Amen. We come in with life. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So we need to, even if we don't feel like, amen, we've got something, we need to act like it. Hallelujah. I said, even if we feel like we don't have anything, amen, act like it. Amen, if you don't feel like you need a worship or feel worship, act like you want to worship. Eventually it'll get to you. My God, have mercy here tonight. Hallelujah. Let me read this text before I get off track here. Turn to the book of 3 John. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Praise God. And so we need to ask God for something big. And don't be afraid. God is not going to, man, feel like you're asking for something that he doesn't have. Man, if you go and ask your parents for maybe an S600, maybe that they can't afford it, but God can afford everything. David said, the earth said, the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, because he had founded it. He has everything. So we need to ask. And if we don't ask, we certainly won't receive. And I'm not going to not have because I don't ask. I'm going to ask. 3 John, I'm going to begin in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And my subject tonight is the importance of truth. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight and we appreciate you. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for what we feel in this room tonight. I pray your hand would be upon us. Touch our minds. Give us a spirit of revelation, a spirit of truth here. Lord God, I release the Holy Ghost here. I take authority over this atmosphere, binding every devil, chain every devil tonight. And release, Lord God, what you need to for us to hear. Hear from heaven, touch the lips of clay. Dear God, we'll be careful to praise you and to honor you. And to give you all of the glory that is due to your precious and your wonderful name. And all the people said amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. The importance of truth. Now, we live in an hour where many people feel that truth is relative, and that truth really depends on where you are, what time of the day it is, what time of the month it is, what year it is, or whatever other factors they may introduce in the argument. The kingdom of God has suffered violence, and God's word has been under a full court press by the world and by the enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. The adversary has attacked God's word at every opportunity and has tried to discredit the word of God and undermine the truth of God's word. From the garden, he has tried to deceive people by telling them that God's word is not true and that we cannot trust God's word. Even our judicial system in this country, by and large, has really been complicit in the whole matter. And they are trying in every area of American life, every last vestiges of truth of God's word. It started in the 60s whereby people have said, well, we really don't really want the word of God being here. It is just too chafing. It is too constraining. There's just too many rules. And of course, men used to have the Ten Commandments on display in various places of public places, and they have said, well, no, we don't want to do that. If you would put on any display of any false god and so forth, they don't mind that. But if it's the word of God, if it's the Ten Commandments, well, friend, you've got a fight on your hand. And so we've got various activist groups and various environmental groups, all different kind of groups, ACLU. All of these groups have been, as it were, trying to stomp on the word of God. And Satan, behind all of this, is trying to prop up those groups, trying to have those groups up, trying to keep them in the forefront. And they would try to beat down the word of God. Good people today are held in derision. Good people today are put down. But devils are commended. Devils are put in place of prominence. And really, when we think about all of the enemies of the Christ cross of Christ, they have an end. They will face an end. Because in the final analysis, God's word is going to triumph. Amen. Brother Ralph Reynolds wrote a book some time ago. He says that truth is going to triumph, and truth will triumph. Amen. It, regardless of what people do, truth is going to triumph. Because, amen, truth is absolute. It's not just relative. It's not just the time of day. Truth is absolute. There are some truths that is absolutely right, and there's no other question. Amen. David at one time said, "Forever, O God, thy word is settled in the heavens." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. "So shall be my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I send it." Jesus stood to his feet at one time. He says, "Heaven and earth would pass away, but my word would never pass away." The prophet says, he says that God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. So the word of God is going to be at the end. It's going to triumph. It's going to be there. It's going to remain. And truth is truth. And you can do, you're not going to trample truth, friend. Man, truth is truth. And I want to point out four important factors to you tonight relative to the truth of God's word. First of all, we can do nothing against truth. I said we can do nothing against the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 8. The apostle writing to those saints, and he tells them this, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 8. He says, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." People will try to drown the truth, but it will rise again. People can't destroy truth. Truth can't be annihilated. Truth is indestructible. Truth will always be looking you in the eyes. People will wake up and there will be truth. Amen. Jesus, at one time in front of Pilate, Pilate asked of Jesus, he says, "What is truth?" But, amen, Jesus had already declared in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 14, verse 17, Jesus said, "Jesus is the spirit of truth." Amen. Wherever you go, when you look at Jesus, you are looking at truth. And they asked, and he says, "What shall I do with Jesus?" And people said, "Let him be crucified." In Matthew 27, verse 22. But let me remind you tonight, we simply cannot crucify truth. Truth will come back alive. The tomb can't hold truth. Amen. Caesar's seal can't stop truth. Amen. Death can't extinguish truth. So we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We must seek to establish truth and publish truth. Trying to discredit truth is simply futile. People will try every way to fight against the truth of God's word, but it will still be at the forefront at the end. People will fight against water baptism in Jesus' name, but that's still not going to do, because at the end of the day, that still will be truth. Amen. Since the apostles preached water baptism in Jesus' name, we've had many people have come to try and discredit that. During the dark ages, sometime it was out of view, but truth was still there. The historical church, which today is the name Christianity, they have tried to kill the Jesus name people. They have tried to stamp out the truth, but truth will still continue. They will tell you about this. They will say that. They will say, "Well, those things have been done away. Those things have come to an end." But let me tell you tonight that truth of God's word is still applicable today to us. They felt like the Jesus name movement was going out of circulation. But I remember Brother Talmud French in his book, Our God, His One. He says the apostolic people number close to 30 million people today. What's happening? The Church of the Living God is truth, and it's going to continue to march forward. You're not going to destroy truth. You're not going to vanquish truth. Truth is going to continue. We can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. The fight against the oneness of God is always going to be there, but that is still truth. Amen. God is one. And it doesn't matter who's going to tell you that there is a trinity of God. God is still one. People might say, well, you know, this or that. But friend, truth is truth. And the Bible portrays to us that the mighty God is Jesus Christ. And so we got to preach truth. We got to rely on truth. We cannot do anything against the truth but for the truth. People being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, it may not sound good to some folk, but it's still right. Amen. Hallelujah. They may say, well, you don't have to do that. And that, but not speaking in tongues is of the devil, or the tongues went out with this, or tongues ceased with that. Amen. There is not a shred of evidence in the Word of God that people who receive the Holy Ghost today don't speak in tongues. We have that at almost every service. We have people receiving the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure in this church also, two people received the Holy Ghost last night. So what do we have to conclude? Is that truth is still truth. Amen. When we talk about holiness, holiness is still truth. People may not like it. Say, well, you are too, amen, pharisaical. You are too legalistic. Well, you're too abrasive, but it's still truth. Because the writer in the Hebrews, he says, without holiness, no man shall see God. So that's still right. And the writer also, he said, Jesus is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he is the same tomorrow. So regardless of what the time is, regardless of the atmosphere of the hour, truth is still truth. And we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. The second point I want to point out is that truth will make you free. Truth is liberating. Truth will set you from where you are in sin and cause you to be free and liberated. Let us look at John chapter 8 and verse 32. John 8 verse 32. And Jesus says this. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So truth is liberating. Notice in our text in 3 John. Amen. The word truth is used 4 times in the 4 verses. It is used 7 times in the rest, in the total chapter. The Apostle John's writing is marked off by a stress on the word truth. And because truth is so important, we need to pay attention. John's mind is probably closer to the Lord's mind than any of the other 11 apostles. And so truth in his word was important. When you look at John's message in his gospel, John is setting out to declare to us the divinity of God. He is trying to show us that Jesus Christ was really God in the flesh. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh, and Jesus Christ came here as a man, but he was God. That was truth. That is why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth will set us free. Truth is what's going to liberate us.
In times past, we were in sin. In time past, we were locked up in sin. We were tied up in sin. We were in the bondage to sin. But when we heard the word of God, it set us free. Amen. There's some of us, if we were truthful, some of us were in fornication. Some of us were whiskey drinkers. Some of us were smokers. Some of us had all different kinds of sins. Amen. The Apostle Paul, writing to the saints in Corinth, he says, such were some of you, but you're washed. Amen. Such were some of you. Amen. But God has sanctified you. What has happened? Truth set us out of all of those terrible sin. Truth liberated us. Truth got us out of all of that mess. And it is the word of God that did that. When we heard the word of God, friend, whatever mess we were in, the word of God extricated us. It pulled us out of there. It removed us from where we were and put us at liberty, put us in the house of God. And so now we're set free. What did that? It was the word of God. It'll set us free. And the word of God, therefore, is very, very important. And truth, God's truth, is something that we've got to pay attention to. Amen. When we consider those three men in the fiery furnace, I believe it was truth that set them free. Because they said, well, did we not just throw three men in there bound? But he says, I see four men walking in there and they're loose. What had happened? Truth had entered in that fire and had taken away all of the shackles and set them free. Truth will liberate. Truth would set us free. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, amen, in heart, and ye shall find rest for unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Truth will set you free. Truth will take you out of some of the deepest depths of sin and set you on your way rejoicing. Amen. Truth will liberate you. Truth will give you a heart to love God. Truth will set your mind at ease. It'll take away the yoke of bondage. It'll take away the yoke of sin. It'll take you out of the bars. Amen. God, the truth of God's word will take you out of nightclub and set you free. Hallelujah. And that is why the word of God, as I made mention last night, the apostle says, preach the word. Jesus' word is liberating. It'll set people free. People who have been locked up in sin. Amen. As is set free by the preached word of God. Lie can't do that. No amount of band-aid work can do that. But the word of God is truth, and truth will make you free. Here's what John said in his text. He says his heart was filled with joy when he learned that his children were walking in truth. What did that mean? Well, when he got a report back, I believe that he had heard that those that perhaps had left him for some time, he had heard that were still in truth. They were still remaining in truth. And he says his heart was filled with joy. Whenever we hear that people are still walking in truth, we are delighted. We are excited. Why? Because that truth had taken into their mind and they had held it within their spirit. Psalms 48 verse 18. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Whenever truth has gotten into our heart, amen, we are going to have to guard it. The Bible says that we ought to buy the truth and we ought not to sell it. Truth is important. Truth will liberate you. Truth will set you free. There is no greater joy that I have than to know that the people of God who were baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, are still contending for the faith that was once delivered unto them. We don't want people going back. We don't want them drawing back. Somebody said, who is on the Lord's side? We need to stay on the Lord's side. We need to see. We need to understand that truth is truth. And we got to preach truth. We got to be in truth. We got to be unmovable. We got to stay in truth. We got to lock down in truth. We got to preach truth. We got to talk truth. We got to sing truth. We got to pray church and preach truth. Everything about us got to be truth, because the truth will set you free. It'll make you free. Hallelujah. You won't have an ounce, man, friend, of feeling being incarcerated. But you'll be free. You'll be free indeed. Amen. People sometimes feel like, amen, our holiness doctrine and our holiness standard, amen, it is somewhat causing people to be in bondage. Friend, I tell you, contrary to that, when you are set free by the word of God, it causes you to throw off some of those things that have people locked down. Hallelujah. Amen. People that are locked down in all of some of these trinkets and some of these things they put on, that's bondage. But when God sets you free, you throw off all of that stuff. You get rid of all of that stuff. You got rid of all of that nonsense. I told somebody one time, I said, now, if God wanted our ladies to have some things all through their ears, he would have put a hole in there when they were born. And so if there was not a hole in your ear, you don't need to put a hole in your ear. I wonder if this is an apostolic church. I wonder if somebody turned this microphone off. I said, if there's not a hole in your ear when you were born, then you don't need to put a hole in your ear. Hallelujah. And that is truth. You need to liberate yourself. People need to be liberated from all of that nonsense. So Jesus said, the truth will make you free. And we got to stay in truth. We got to talk truth. And people need to know that truth brings joy. Songwriter says, I have found his grace and it's all complete. And he supplies every need. And so while I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, amen, I find joy. Another writer said, I find joy in his company every day. Amen. Jesus is here so that we would have joy. And joy is not predicated on how things are going right. Joy is predicated on our relationship we have with God. And so we have joy because we know truth. We're in truth. We're walking in truth. We have truth. We embrace truth. We have digested truth. We have assimilated truth. Truth, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. Hallelujah. Amen. Whenever you want, whenever you want true freedom, you've got to be in Christ. You've got to be in Christ, and in Christ is truth. The third thing I want to point out to you is that truth will sanctify its recipients. If you receive truth, it is going to sanctify you. Amen. In John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. To sanctify means to set apart. And so you will find out that people are set apart. Places are set apart. Instrument may be set apart. Vessels are set apart. Why are they set apart? They are set apart for the exclusive use of God in our context. And so when we receive truth, it causes us to be set apart. God visited the Gentiles to pick out of them a people for his name. So God is doing something consciously. This is not just by chance. Amen. You ever go in the supermarket? Have you ever gone to cash and carry or whatever you have here? And you go in the produce department and you look at some apples? And maybe it's just me, but I pick up that apple and I look it over. Well, it has something. Oh, I don't want that one. And I pick that up. Do you do that too? Oh, yeah. And that is what God is doing. He is visiting the Gentile and he is picking out of people. He's not going to put everybody there because everybody won't like truth. Everybody won't receive truth. Amen. So God consciously picks out people. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He consciously picked that one out, bypasses that one, jump over that one, snag that one. What is he doing? They will receive truth. When you receive truth, it'll set you apart. Nothing sets us apart more than God's truth. People try to explain away the apostolic doctrine. They try to explain away water baptism. But no other group teaches what we teach. No other group have the skill like we have the skill to break the bread of life. We have to be a craftsman. We have to be, amen, we have to have the ability to cut and to slice and to set apart. That's what apostolics are. The Bible says in Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to be skillful. We got to, this is why when we got the Holy Ghost from on high, sent down from on high, we have a certain amount of skill. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I said, we've got a certain amount of skill. Oh, Lord, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. If you are going to be skilled in anything, you got to go through some training, some learning, some experience. And God has touched us with the Holy Ghost, and he has given us an ability to break the bread of life. Jesus at one time took a few fish and a few loaf of bread, and he broke the bread of life, gave it to those apostles, and they kept breaking and breaking. God is able to give us skill and power to do a lot of things that those folk in the world can't do. Because we are power energized. We're Holy Ghost filled. I mean, when you think about the apostolic, I mean, the apostolic have the word of God. They got the Holy Ghost. They got anointing. Amen. They got inspiration. Amen. Sometimes we just sit down on everything that God give us. That is why we're exhorting this church that we need to start about thinking about some big things, not just some small thing. We've got the anointing. We've got the word. We've got the unction. We've got the Holy Ghost. We got the skill. We need to start using that word, using that skill, using that power, utilizing what has been given to us. Hallelujah. We've got it. Paul says, seeing we have this ministry, it's not something we're looking for. We've got it. We've been equipped. God has laid his hands on us. And so this truth then is going to sanctify us. And it has set us apart for God's exclusive use. There is no other people that have the ability that the Church of the Living God has. No other group have the knowledge to interpret scriptures like we. No other group have the ability that the Holy Ghost has given to us. I don't know how you see it, but friend, I hear of so many miracles that is still taking place in apostolic quarters. Hallelujah. I'm saying there are still people that are receiving power, and people are receiving healing. People are receiving sick and dead raised. What's happened? God has sanctified us. He has deposited us a certain amount of power. Jesus stood to his feet at one time. He says, after the Holy Ghost has come on you, you shall receive power. I submit to this congregation that we have been recipient of truth. And so God has set us apart, that we should declare his name. Amen. Psalmist said, who shall declare his generation? There is a people that has been birthed out of the belly of the womb of the church, that God has put in truth, that we've got power. Oh, hallelujah. We got power to tread on scorpions. We got power to tread on the devil. We got a power to pull down. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, we got some power. If you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose. That's the church he's talking to. That is the church of the living God he's talking to. Amen. So God has put in us a separation. He separated us from the world. Hallelujah. When they talk about God in three persons, we're talking about the mighty God in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said to John in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which was, which is, and was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So when we preach Jesus Christ being the Almighty God, we have been set apart. We have been given the truth of God's word. We have truth in us. We can declare. We ought not to be ashamed. We are not to feel like we're somewhat across the track. Friend, we've come past that. We are the church of the living God. We are the body of Christ. We are the chosen. We are the sanctified. We are the set apart. The apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, and you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. God has called us into marvelous light. He separated us from the darkness of Egypt, from the darkness of sin, from the darkness of this world, and he's brought us into marvelous light, which in times past was not a people, but now. Hallelujah. I said now. In time past we were not a people, but now God has set us apart. In time past we had not obtained mercy, but now we've obtained mercy. God has set us apart. Amen. We have been sanctified by his word. Hallelujah. So we are his people. David said, we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. Amen. And so therefore he said we ought to come before him. That's when we come in the house of God, we ought to know who we are. Amen. We're not orphans. We're not rejects. We're not just an afterthought in God's mind. We have been chosen in him. Amen. Before the world began. Amen. As he has sanctified us with his truth. Praise God. And so we are a people that has been set apart. Lastly, the Lord wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. He would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth because it is only truth that will save them. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and let's look at verse number 1. It is truth that is going to save. People will not understand sometimes that truth makes a difference, but it makes a difference every time. 1 Timothy chapter 1, or chapter 2 rather, and we're going to read. And it says this, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Observe verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. It is the will of God that everyone on this earth be saved. That is the will of God. That is God's will. He would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And for them to come to the knowledge of the truth, we're going to have to make it known. This is why the preached word have got to go forth. We shouldn't try and camouflage the truth. We shouldn't try and hide it under a bushel. We shouldn't try and make it deceptive. Truth needs to be displayed. It needs to be opened up. It needs to be preached. It needs to be set up on like a light on the top of a hill. Why would we have truth and try to hide it under a bushel? That's why when we try to be like charismatic, it's a mistake. We don't need to be like charismatic. We don't have to emulate them. We need to have truth. We need to be dispensing truth. We need to be the ones that will promulgate truth. We need to establish truth. We need to talk about truth. Because the Bible says God's will is that all men should be saved. Now how are they going to be saved if we don't tell them truth? Charismatic preaching can't save them. I don't know what y'all believe here in Birmingham, but I tell them in Tampa, there's nothing else that I have faith in. Lord, have mercy. I might not even come back to Birmingham when it's all said and done, but friend, there may be good Baptists, good Church of Christ, good Church of God, good Church of God in Christ, but the only thing that is going to save people is what we're preaching. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You see some men of watered down truth, but you see this old preacher here. You see this old preacher, amen, if you don't go down in that water in Jesus' name, you don't come up talking in tongues and you don't live right, to me, you're not going anywhere. Lord, have mercy. Woo, Lord, have mercy. I mean, I have people of God in Birmingham. I have no type of a understanding that anything else is going to save people. I have no faith in any other doctrine that's going to say, I don't believe. There is absolutely no equivocation as to what is going to save people. I believe that except a man, hear me, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Galatia, and he said, though we are an angel. Said, Pastor David, Brother David, what are you saying? You're going to touch angel? I told somebody, I said, if I saw heaven open, I mean, I can see it open, and somebody came out of there and came and preached anything other than what we're preaching, I said, man, you just need to keep on going. You don't need to reside in Tampa. You need to keep on going. There may be other places that will entertain you. There may be other places that will put you up, but Tampa is not that. You need to keep on going. I am absolutely convinced that the only thing that is going to save this world is what the Apostle Paul preached. Repentance from sin, water baptism in Jesus' name, getting the Holy Ghost, separation from sin, the mighty God in Christ. Anything other than that, it has no biblical stamp of approval. None. None whatsoever. You can say, well, they're good people. Yeah, they may be good people. They distribute gifts. Great. Amen. They love the poor. Wonderful. Amen. They do all those great things. That are wonderful. But you're not saved. I said you need truth because the Bible says that God would have all men to be saved. How? That they come to the knowledge of the truth. Truth will save. Truth will take you out of sin. You know, people sometimes assume because God is kind and God is merciful and God is compassionate that alone is going to save them. There is not a shred of evidence in God's word that any of those things save you. Good works can't save you. You say you give your body to be burned, you still need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You say you raise the dead, you still need the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. You said you reach to the third heaven, you still need separation from the world. Amen. People got to come to the word. They got to come to the knowledge. We've got it. That's why we can't just hide it. People got to know truth. My God, I'm telling you, this church family here, that in Tampa, we preach a lot of doctrine. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. I said, man, you preach doctrine divide. Well, do I care? I don't care if doctrine divide. Jesus said he came to bring dividing house. He came to set the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. He came to set the father-in-law against the son-in-law. What am I saying? When truth is preached in a house, it may tear up that house. Oh, Lord, have mercy in this place. I said, I mean, truth may tear it up. You know, in the old days when you had some of our young folk, they went to some of those revival where Holy Ghost were falling and people were being baptized in Jesus' name. Well, when they got back home, the things were out on the step, the clothes out there. Say, you gone up into those holy rolls, you gone up to that Jesus' name. Well, you're not a part of our family anymore. David says, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. That's all right. Truth will divide the house. But truth is what's going to save them. If you want truth, sometimes you got to kiss your family. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. I said, if you want truth, sometimes you got to kiss your family goodbye. Hallelujah. Somebody said, goodbye, world. Sometimes, hey, I've been to the holy. I've been to that church. I've been to the water. Somebody said, I went to a meeting one night. My heart wasn't right, but something got a hold on me. What? It was truth. Truth get a hold of you. You went to that altar, stuck your hand up. God filled you with the Holy Ghost. They put you down in Jesus' name. It's a brand new life. That is what truth is going to do. Truth is going to help you to be saved. You need truth. So in Tampa, we preach doctrine. We teach doctrine. We're not just going to say, well, we don't want to offend anybody. Well, we don't go out of our way to offend anybody, but they need truth because truth is going to save them. And somebody said, well, you preach doctrine, the devil will get mad. I tell him, well, we want to get the devil mad because when he come in this house, we're going to nail his hide to the wall. Amen. You get that devil bad, let him come. We will fix him. We got something to fix him. Hallelujah. Don't be scared to preach truth. Preach the truth. Because he would have all men to be saved. And friend of mine, God's truth is what is going to save the world. Here was what Paul said to the Roman saints. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Now notice that's past. Ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you. Now implicit in there is the fact that the truth of God's word in that doctrine had made them as it were free. Look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin. What caused that? God's word. That's the doctrine. That's what's going to separate you from sin. People got to know you got to live right. You can't shack up and go to heaven. I wonder if this is Birmingham. This Birmingham here. But do we preach in Birmingham what we preach in Tampa? You simply can't be shacking up and go to heaven. We need to teach that. We need to let people know that. You can't be in fornication and go to heaven. You can't be drinking whiskey and go to heaven. Whoa, Lord, have mercy. Amen. He says, being made free from sin. The word of God does that. Truth will do that. You became the servants of righteousness. So you need doctrine to do that. It's not just a matter of, well, let's shout and everybody is happy. And everybody, oh, it's merciful. Oh, God love us and all that much. Friend, preach doctrine. Teach doctrine. Let them know they got to leave sin. They got to sin, let kiss sin goodbye. Amen. This is what truth will do. It'll cause you to be separated from sin. God is simply unable to save people outside of his word. He simply cannot save anybody out of his word. His word is the mechanism of salvation. Amen. Amen. What preserved the manna in the Ark of the Covenant? We're told by Moses that if you gathered manna, if you gathered some manna, you had to eat it every day. With the exception of the sixth day, that lasts for 2 days. But every day you got some of that manna, you had to eat it or else it'll spoil. But we're told in the word of God that Moses put a pot of manna in that ark and it lasted, kept preserved for many years. Now what kept that word preserved? What kept the manna preserved? It was the word of God. It was placed near those two tables. Those two tables of God's commandment. With that manna right by it. That word preserved that manna. What is going to happen when we are preserved? The only thing that is going to preserve us, that's going to stop decay, that is going to stop sin, that's going to stop us in ungodliness, is the word of God. That's why you have to preach the word of God. People need to know they've got to live right. You've got to preach the word. And Jesus Christ lets us know that he is going to save people, but they got to come to the knowledge of the truth of God's word. God can't do anything outside of his word. He said he has exalted his word above even his name. God has a high name. Because the apostle Paul says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. But God said he has exalted his word above all his name. God's word is on top of everything. Inasmuch as his name is wonderful, his name is precious, but his word is above that. That is why we have to let people know they have got to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Notice in Psalms 107 and verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What's going to heal people? The word. What's going to deliver them from destruction? The word. And he sent his word and healed them. God's actions are limited by his word. And his word is truth. So only truth can really save, heal, and deliver. That's why truth is so important. So whatever truth is, we're going to need truth. Wherever we find truth, we need to walk in it. And so Paul is saying he would have all men to be saved by coming to the knowledge of the truth of God's word. That's every preacher should have that desire, that the world needs to come to truth. And so we need to preach it. We need to preach the word of God. When people come to our doors, when they come and sit in our pews, we can't just tell them a lot of nonsense. Just because it sounds good doesn't mean it's right. I mean, we can make up a lot of hocus pocus. Well, God love you. We understand that. Well, God is compassionate. We know that. We know all of the moral attributes of God. But that's not going to save you. People need to be saved by hearing the truth of God's word. They need to come to a place where repentance is in view. Holy Ghost is in view. Separation from all of that. That's a necessity. I mean, there's not a shred of evidence that God just came to let us feel good. That's not his. I mean, sometimes we'll feel good and we have joy and so forth, unspeakable. We know that. But that's not God's purpose to let us feel good. He came to save us. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That is why Jesus Christ came here, to save us, not let us feel good. I mean, you get a check in the mail from IRS, you feel good, but that's not putting you in heaven. Hello? That's not going to put you in heaven, no way. But when you come out of that water, speaking in tongues, you've gone down in Jesus' name, you obey the truth, that will save you. Because you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you. So I'm not an apostolic preacher that lets just preach for people to feel good. There's probably a lot of feel-good people in hell. But the word of God comes to save us from what is in front of this world. And how is the world going to be saved if when they come here they don't have truth? If they don't hear truth, how are they going to be saved? We will tell them in love. We'll speak it in love. But friend, we're not just going to butter them. We're not just going to use euphemism, just let them feel like good. And they say, well, you know, it's not sin anymore, but we don't want you to feel like you're not worth anything. We're not just a church that talk about positive thinking. I mean, we may have that as part of that, but we don't just come here and open up Norman Vincent Peale book and talk about positive thinking. We want people to leave sin alone. And sin is contravention of God's word. So people need truth. They need truth. And we've got to preach truth. And so the truth is going to help them to be saved. And so as I get ready to close, I want you to know that God's word is truth. And so truth is very important. It saves, It sanctifies. It sets us free. It is, you can do nothing against truth. So what people need to do is get with truth. They need to get with the truth. They need to blend it with truth. They need to join hands with truth. They need to say yes to truth. They need to say amen to truth. That's the word of God. Truth is going to save them. Truth is going to help them. So this church needs to continue. And I know you have been talking about truth and teaching Bible study. Don't be afraid to teach it. Some people feel like if we preach being apostolic, people are going to stay away from church. They said if we teach truth, then people won't come to our churches. Well, that's a lie. That's an outright lie. We've been teaching and preaching truth for 16 years in Tampa, and God is still adding to the church. I said, God is still adding to the church. We don't just let people feel like, well, you're okay. And you come to this altar, just do a little wave and accept Christ in your heart by faith and then write a little check and you'll be on your way to heaven. No, we don't do that there. We don't do that in Tampa. No. Bible salvation. Bible salvation. Bible salvation. It'll, when you get down, when you get Bible salvation in your heart, in your soul, Jeremiah, that Hebrew prophet, he said at one time, he said he was tired. He was just sick of preaching. He was called the weeping prophet. And he said, God, I'm so weary with preaching and teaching. I said, I'm just going to hold my peace. I'm just going to sit down, hold my peace. But he said, when I sat down, he said there was something that kept stirring up. There was something, he sat down and there was something, I mean, his foot kind of started moving. Hand kind of started moving. The Hebrew prophet couldn't describe it in any other way. But he said it felt like fire that was shut up in his bones. See, when you get the truth of God's word, you shouldn't sit down on it. Oh, hallelujah. I say, you're not supposed to sit down on truth. He said it felt like fire. He felt like fire. Shut up. Shut up in my bone. My God, have mercy. We need to feel truth in our bone. We can't sit down. Somebody said, I just got salvation. I just got religion. I want to sit down, but I can't sit. As soon as I sit down, I'm on my feet again. That's what truth is going to do. He's going to set you ablaze. He's going to set you on fire. Truth is important. We need to get truth. We need to digest truth. We need to think truth. We need to read truth. We need to pray truth. We need to sleep truth. We need to go to bed in truth. We need to wake up in truth. Truth is important. And for people to be saved, they need truth. So let's publish truth. Do it in love, but let them know you need this. I said, let them know, friend, what we have here, you're going to need it. You're going to need this, what we have here, more than your mom and your daddy and your sister and your brother, even your best friend. What we got here, you're going to need it. You know, one thing that Joseph knew when he got in that famine, he knew if people were going to eat corn, if they were going to eat corn, they had to come down there. Because he had the deal. He had that. You could say you're going to conjure up some corn, but if you wanted real corn, you're going to have to come down where Joseph had. He had it in store. When people get ready for truth and to be saved, they need to know the apostolic have truth. Amen. It's not dispensed anyplace else. No other group have it. They may have a large number. They may have an imposing structure, but they don't have truth. And truth is what's going to make them free. So stay in truth. Preach truth. Love truth. You got to love truth. I said you got to love it. You got to love truth for truth's sake, because it's going to cause you to live for God. And truth is important. And so John says, I have no other delight than to hear that my children walk in truth. So walk in truth. Truth will constrain you. Truth have boundaries. Truth will restrain you. But that's what is necessary. To live for God, you need the truth of God's word. You're going to need it. I said you're going to need it. Truth, what truth is? Truth is like the barrier that you have on a bridge. There's some boundary there. And you're going to need some truth to keep you in the boundary. And you know, I don't know, we've got a couple bridges in Tampa. And there's water down below. And the guardrail that is on that bridge, you know, most people really don't drive up to test whether that guardrail will hold that car. They very rarely say, well, let me just, you know, just bounce along this guardrail. It's there. And I'm almost of the persuasion that if somehow they took those guardrails down, that there are going to be a few people who will not drive across there. We need truth. It's our guardrail. It's what's going to keep us safe. It's what's going to guide us. It's what's going to take us and usher us into the portals of glory. We need truth. Truth is important. We got to love truth. We got to fall in love with it. This apostolic message, you need to fall in love with it. Love it. Don't you ever go back on truth. John says, I love when I hear that they still retain truth. Our feet shall never decline from God's word. Heaven bless you. Stay in love with Jesus. This church ought to fall in love with Jesus. Songwriter says falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. You need to fall in love with Jesus. Stay close to God's word. It'll preserve you. Stay close to God's word. It'll keep you. Stay close to God's word. It'll sanctify you. Stay close to God's word because it'll land you in glory. Heaven bless you. I don't know if there's someone you, if you would gather around this altar if you have a desire and said, Lord, I want to fall in love with truth. I want you to baptize me afresh with truth. Let me be able to promulgate truth, to dispense truth so that men will be saved. God bless you, brothers.
As you come tonight, just thank God for truth.
Yes, I want it.
Lift up your hands and your voice and just tell him, God, I thank you for your truth tonight.
I
thank you that it separates me. I thank you that it saves me. I thank you for your truth tonight, oh God. To somebody, shake their hands and say, buy the truth and sell it not. Tell them the truth will keep you. It'll separate you. It'll save you. Praise God. You believe that tonight? Let's clap our hands and bless the name of the Lord for his word. Praise God. How many of you believe that we're living in what the Bible calls the last days, the end time? Praise God. Paul wrote a letter to the church at Thessalonica, and he said the spirit of the Antichrist is already working. And he talks about the Antichrist, how he's going to come with all deceivableness in those who receive not a love for the truth. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned. And the crux of that is they just didn't love the truth. My God, Brother Davey, I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God tonight, and I appreciate the truth. We could have a business meeting right now. We've got a quorum. We could have a business meeting. We could have a vote right now. And I could ask you, how about it? You wanna just have simple believism, Martin Luther's core doctrine as the plan of salvation, or do you want to stay an apostolic church? All in favor of being an apostolic church, why don't you shout amen? Would you like to continue to preach what Peter preached? Why don't you shout amen? Somebody that wants to continue to preach what Paul preached, why don't you shout amen? I want it. Come on, just a little bit. If you got truth, you ought to shout about it. You ought to praise God for it. You ought to thank God for truth tonight. Hey, do you want the fire? God bless you. I love the Word of God tonight. Appreciate Brother Davies so very much. Strengthen and bless somebody before you go. We're going to do this again tomorrow night. Prayers at 6:30 and an apostolic service at 7 o'clock. So good.